Before we start doing the exercises, I just wanted to talk a little bit about transcriptome assembly, which is what we'll be sort of doing next. And I wanted to just introduce really briefly the sort of the way that a transcriptome assembler works. And then I want to talk a little bit about the layout of the exercises that we'll be working with this afternoon and also tomorrow. As I said before, you want to combine your hundreds of millions of reads into a transcriptome with no pre-existing information available. And the way to do that is look for regions where reads overlap and create contigs or contiguous sequences. And so to do that, almost all de novo assembly software uses this tool called debugging graphs. And I'll go into exactly what that is in a second. But before that, I want to say that there's a lot of different software available to do this type of thing. And you're going to want to choose one that works for you. When I look at these things, there's always kind of three different things that I weigh in. And that's speed, so how long does it take to do the assembly? If I want to do an assembly lots of different times to try out different parameters, then it can be really important. You don't want to run an assembly for a week just to find out that it's no good and then you have to do it again. How much memory does it require? A lot of the assembly software out there require a lot of memory. But there are some that don't require so much memory, so you might want to use those if you are working on your own computer, for example. And then accuracy, or how good is the transcriptome? And that, all, of course, depends on your goals of your project. Do you want to do a fast and dirty assembly, or do you want to do something that takes a bit longer? And there's a really good review, Martin Wang, so that's on the course website as well. And also the paper that sort of introduces Trinity that we'll be using today also has a really good comparison of different assembly software. And that's also available on the course website. So the debugging graphs, basically, how they work is that they consist of nodes or k-mers that has k length. So k is a number that in general is shorter than the read length. So it can be 30, can be 15. And it's connected by edges. And there is k minus 1 overlap between each node. So basically, it looks like this. So this is an example with a k-mer length of 16. So you have basically your node here, which is a sequence. And then it's connected by an edge to the next one. And as you can see, the next one is same as this one, but it overlaps by k minus 1. So if k is 16 here, it overlaps by 15 bases. So it's the a is missing here, and then you have an extra g here if you compare it to this one. And then this one, in turn, is connected to the next one, also with k minus 1 overlap. So the c is missing here, but then you add an extra g. And that's basically how it works. So you connect all of these k-mers to each other. And then when you have polymorphisms, like here, for example, you have a C and you have a T, then you get a bifurcation in your graph. And then that can continue. Here you have another polymorphism. You have an A and a C, so that bifurcation continues. And that's the way it works. It builds these interconnected graphs. And then if you have these nodes that are connected only by one edge, like here, for example, you can merge them or collapse them into just one that will then be k plus 1 in length here, in this, or k plus 2 if you merge three k-mers. So when you have graphs like this, the polymorphisms will result in sort of bubbles. And so here you have an example where you have one polymorphism here. You have a C and a G, an A and a T. And as you see, this depends on the length of K. So depending on the length of K, you will get either a longer sequence here, because when it encounters this polymorphism, it's going to split this graph up into two. And then the same here. Up until here, you'll have a k-mer that starts with an A, A-T-T, all the way to the G. Whereas here, the k-mer will start with a T and go all the way to the G. But then when you have the next step, they will become identical, right? So it will be from T-T-T-A-A-A all the way to this T. And then the bubbles merge again. So this is sort of how it works, and it's described fairly well in one of the papers that I put on the website as well. The CLC white paper has really nice figures that describe how this works. And so this is what causes, if you have excessive polymorphism, and you can also set what your maximum bubble size should be before you split these two up into two different context completely. So if you have a lot of polymorphism, then you're going to have a lot of bubbles, and that can cause problems. So just briefly, polymorphisms can be due to sequencing errors, SNPs, alternative splicing, or paralogous genes. And in general, we don't really know what is causing these polymorphisms when we assemble a transcriptome. In some cases, so for sequencing errors, for example, we can look at the distribution to rule out, to get rid of sequencing errors. So in the case of sequencing errors, we would expect one of the two paths in our graph to be in very low frequency compared to the other one. And so you can use that to kind of discard likely sequencing errors. But in other cases where you have alternative splicing, for example, you cannot distinguish that accurately. So right now, it seems that this software called Trinity is the best at finding these alternative isoforms or paralogs. So this is from a Grabher paper from 2011 that's in the course website that just shows that Trinity does a really good job at both finding full-length genes and isoforms. So basically, these two softwares here on the right are methods that uses a pre-existing genome and maps to the genome, which is a simpler method to do this and produces really good results, but you have to have a genome available. Whereas these methods here on the left are de novo methods, methods that do not use any pre-existing information. And it seems from this that Trinity does the best job out of these four. As well to find splicing patterns, it seems that Trinity does really well. Trinity uses a lot of memory. So there are some other alternatives. We've been using one called CLC Genomics Workbench. It's really fast, and it does not use so much memory. But you do have to pay for it. So that's the kind of that's the kind of thing you have to keep in mind when you decide here. And there's this paper, Bertram also contrasts this software, CLC, to other assemblers. It's also available on the Google site. So basically, the way Trinity works is in three steps, which is hence the name. It starts, and it's sort of named after this sort of butterfly. So it has one first step called inchworm that basically takes all your reads and collapses that into a table of k-mers. So all possible k-mers that are present in your data will be stored in a table. And then it will kind of build k-mers based on that and extend those in space and make a table. And then the next step, Chrysalis, basically overlaps all of these with k-1 length to create these Dibbern graphs and bubbles. And then finally, the third step that they call butterfly compacts all of these graphs and basically saves transcripts and saves isoforms as separate contexts from each other. So the software allows to running each part independently, or they can be run combined. So you basically just start it with a command trinity, and then it'll do all of the steps one after each other. And that's what we're going to do today. It currently only supports k equals 25. So it uses 25 as k-mer length if you're running all of these. If you're running only interim separately, you can modify your k-mer length, which might be useful if you have a real data set. You might want to try different lengths to see how that affects your assembly. But today, we're going to do the whole run all together. So we're stuck with this k, it's 25. And according to the manual, it requires about 1 gigabyte of RAM memory per million reads. So that's quite a lot. Typically, some project I've been involved with for transcriptomes, we've had 500 million reads up to a billion reads. So then you would require, you know, anywhere from half to 1 terabyte of RAM memory, which you typically don't really have on your laptop. But if you have access to a cluster, then that is a very good use for it, like we have here. So that brings me sort of to today's objectives. So today we're going to start with getting raw reads from an Illumina machine, and we're going to clean those up. So we're basically going to look at the quality scores that are in the raw reads, and we're going to remove anything that's below a certain quality threshold. And then we're going to use those reads to, and we're going to do some other quality stats as well. And then we're going to use those reads to do a transcriptome assembly using Trinity. And then later on in the afternoon, we're going to map or align our reads to this newly created assembly. And then we're going to do some different quality control steps with that. So we're going to look at the alignment, see what it looks like. We're going to count the number of reads that align to our context. And then we're going to also look at the effect of different mapping parameters or alignment parameters. And then tomorrow we're going to do a SNP detection run and try to get some genotypes from some individuals out of the data. So what you have available are 12 sample files. And each of these sample files have 200,000 reads in them. So they've been sort of truncated. They're real sample files from a project that I'm doing now. And so there are six individuals. It's abalone individuals from before a mortality event happened. And there's six individuals after. And each of them have 200,000 reads, and they're 50 base pair single end reads that are available on the server, along with a bunch of scripts that's in a zip file, and I'll show you where it is. And then the exercise will go through these steps. So if you go to that Google site, so if you go to the Google site and look at materials, there is, at the almost the first ones, there's three different PDFs. And there's one called QC and assembly. So that's quality control and assembly. And if you click on view next to that one, you'll get this document that basically walks you through the exercise. Can everyone find it? Great. Great. And so I'm just going to go through the layout of that first. So each of these three exercises, we're going to do the QC and assembly now, and then we're going to do alignment later on this afternoon, and we're going to do SNP detection tomorrow. And each of them has an introductory section that basically describes a bit what the purpose is of the exercise. And then there's a step-by-step protocol to follow. And so all commands in here that are that you can type into the terminal window are in Courier font. So you can find those. And they're usually on a new line and indented so that you cannot miss them. You can copy and paste those commands into the terminal window if you want to, or you can type them. If you do copy and paste them, you'll note that a lot of the lines that are on several lines, each line, except for the last line, ends with a backslash. That's just to allow it to copy and paste it. It tells the terminal that the line is not finished, really. It just continues on the next line. If you are typing everything on one line, then you should omit that backslash. Okay. And then in some cases, actually in quite a few cases, there are user-specific commands. So those are things that where you have to type in your own username, for example. Those are marked in all capitals, so you know that here's something that I need to replace with something with my username or with some other personal specific details. And then there are also some bash scripts. Bash scripts ends with the extension .sh. In general, you should open those. The instructions will tell you to open those in a text editor. Typically, you use one called Nano. That works pretty well on the Linux machine. And you can open them, and you can look at them and try to understand what they do. Sometimes you have to make sure that file names are correct. You might have to change some things in them at some point. Bash scripts, if you have never done this type of work before, don't be afraid. Bash scripts are just, it's a list of commands. You could just as well type in each command in a bash script individually into the terminal window, then hit enter, and then type in the next one. All the bash script does is just a list. So you just type the name of the bash script, and it will run each command one after another, so you don't have to type everything in by yourself. Okay, and then there are also other scripts in there written in other programming languages, such as Python and Perl. We're not really going to go into detail on those today. I think that's kind of beyond the scope. But if you feel that you are interested and you have the background knowledge, please feel free to open them and figure out what they do. And then also, I know Robert already talked about this and mentioned one way to copy things. I want to mention another way to copy this. I hope Robert's OK with that. If you're logged in to the server and you are in your workdir where you are, where you have your data files, in some cases you might want to view a plot, for example. And there are several ways you can do that. You can either use a VNC client and install some extra software. I find that for this exercise, it's easier to just copy plots to your own computer, and then you can just click on them and open them. And to me, anyway, the easiest way to do that is with SCP. So CP stands for copy. S is over the SSH client, so it just tells you that you can copy things over SSH. And if you're in that folder where you have your data, you can just do SCP, the name of the file that you want to copy, and then you copy it to your computer. And so then it's your username at your computer name. And if you have a Mac, you can find your computer name under settings and sharing. If you have a Windows machine, I'm pretty sure you can do that as well. You can control panel and sharing preferences or something like that. And it'll give you what your computer name is and what your username is on that computer. Perhaps not. So maybe you want to use SFTP.
Even a Mac, I think it's going to be.
With a Mac, it works well.
It's going to be in the main server system in the world. It's not.
Yeah.
But you could do the opposite. SCP from the server.
Yeah. But we're not going to be copying anything from your computer to the server. We're just going to be copying things from the server to your local computer. So if you have a Windows machine, you might want to use an SFTP client If you have a Mac, you can do this as well. We'll figure it out. And finally, for this afternoon also, the alignment exercise, we're sort of doing a little experiment here. Because there's so many people in the class, we are basically assigning each and every one of you individual alignment parameters to use for your data. And those are available on the Google site as well, under materials. If you click, there is a spreadsheet right at the top called Alignment. If you hit View there, you'll get a list with all of your names, and you'll get individual parameters. And during the mapping exercise, if you open that script, it'll tell you where to insert those parameters. You insert those there, and then you run the alignment exercise. And then once that is done, you can go back to this spreadsheet, and you basically can paste in the results of the alignment. So there are a few things. So just how many reads align, or how many reads do not align at all, how many reads align to multiple locations in your transcriptome, and how many align to one unique position in the transcriptome. And then we'll also note how long it takes to do that. And hopefully, at the end of that, we'll get some interesting statistics to see how those different parameters affect the alignment process. And then we'll look at that tomorrow as well, after we do our genotyping. We can paste that in and see how that the alignment parameters affect how many genotypes we find at the end. So that'll be kind of fun to see that. Hopefully by the end of tomorrow, we'll have some nice data. So I think that's all I had. So the scripts and the sample files are located on your servers in a directory called /shared data. I'll type it up, /shared data/non-model workshop. And under this directory, there's a file called sample files and scripts.zip. And just so you know that, but it's also in the exercise, so I think that we can just get going with the exercise. Yeah. And just
everybody online.
Everybody's online. Everybody found the exercise instructions. So basically, the QC and assembly.
Ready to go? Okay, great.